loose women, you know, the right stuff. All these things are the enemy of literature.
The only way I wrote those books is I took myself out completely.
This is Brain Food.
Hello there, I'm Daryl Morris on this edition of Brain Food, How to Write a Book. Everybody's got a book in them. So that slightly overused, clichéd saying goes. If it's true, how the hell do we go about it? You'd be amazed at some of the weird and wonderful rituals of the literary greats. Take American author Joan Didion, for example. When it comes to nearing the end of a book, Didion prefers to sleep with it in a room, in her bed, saying that if she's there with it while she's sleeping, it's less likely to leave her. Okay. Ernest Hemingway as well would always stop his day of writing right at the end of a place where he knew what was going to come next in the book. That way he wouldn't start the next day with writer's block. Smart. He also wrote standing up as well in a pair of oversized loafers with a typewriter at chest height. Sounds like a fast track to cramp to me.
Hello, I'm Tony Schumacher. I'm the writer of The Darkest Hour, and I spend an awful lot of time looking out the window.
Aha, procrastination. One statesman of ancient Greece was said to be so unmotivated when it came to writing his public appearance speeches that he'd shave one side of his head so he couldn't go out in public until it grew back. Then he made sure that he used that time to do his writing.
Writing for me has to be done in an office. You've got that thing where I've set aside a room in the house which some people might call a spare bedroom, but it doesn't have a bed in anymore. And all I do is sit in that office. And the minute that I go in there, I'm there to write. And also look at Facebook, YouTube and Google and BBC News and the Guardian website and occasionally, but don't tell anyone, the Daily Mail.
Oh, consider yourself judged, Tony. I also spoke to the famous presenter and author Danny Wallace. He's just published his second novel called Who is Tom Ditto? Danny also does a lot of work from home. How does he deal with the eternal distraction that is Loose Women and Andrea McLean?
Oh, good, I see. I thought you were just giving me an insight into your life. I'm not referring to the TV show, but just a queue of women outside your door.
That's it, just the people that I have wandering around my flat on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Loose Women, you know, the right stuff.
Yes.
The little dude who's always sort of confronting builders on telly.
Dom.
All these things are the enemy of literature.
Don't get anything done, watch Dom. I'm not entirely sure how true this is, but international bestseller Dan Brown apparently likes to hang upside down in anti-gravity boots, saying it gives him clarity of mind and helps him relax. He also keeps an hourglass on his desk and every hour stops writing to do push-ups, sit-ups and stretches. So once you push past the procrastination and you're actually sitting down to do it and you've stopped hanging upside down like Dan Brown, what's the best tactic? One woman who sure as hell knows how to get stuff done is author, international motivational speaker, blogger, charity founder, and pretty much anything else you can think of, Jane Kenyon. She's written two books, one of them called Superwoman and the other Diva Wisdom.
The only way I wrote those books is I took myself out completely of my business and I went away for 4 weeks and I literally rented this perfect, beautiful, rustic farmhouse and built into a mountain in northern Spain with no Wi-Fi and no internet access, and just me and my husband. And I wrote for 4 weeks solid, and I came home with two books. And for me, that's the only way I can write something that's big. So soundbite writing, blogs, articles, easy, part of what I do. But actually, to write something bigger than that, I really need to have total immersion. That's the only way I can do it.
I think going away to write one book and coming back with two tells you everything you need to know about it, Jane. Cabin in the lakes then, Tony?
I would love a cabin in the Lake District. Occasionally, if I'm getting a little bit stir-crazy sitting in my office all day writing, I will occasionally go out in the car and just sit and write somewhere. I can't do cafes, though. That idea of sitting in a cafe, you know, J.K. Rowling style and banging away on a keyboard, that would just be a nightmare for me. I can't do that because I have this problem with constantly looking up and looking at people and wondering if I can use them in a book.
Nipping out into the garden, it's hardly hanging upside down in anti-gravity boots, is it? So what's Tony's office like then?
The office itself, I've got, I'm even as I speak, I'm looking around the office now, I've got a few little things. I've got a couple of old copies of the Daily Dispatch. I've got one of the Daily Telegraph, because the book that I've written is set around 1945, 1946. A lot of mail. I've got this thing when I'm printing off emails, I get inundated with emails from various people. So I used to just make a note of them, but now I've got into the habit of printing them off, and they literally physically sit in a file waiting to be answered. And my wall is just full of bits of paper full with handwriting that I can barely read. And that is just notes, day-to-day notes and ideas. And it literally is about, say, 6 foot by 5 foot square of just junk.
Sounds organised. French novelist de Balzac's daily schedule is enough to make your eyes water. He'd have a light dinner and be in bed by 6 o'clock in the evening. He'd then get up at 1 a.m. and have his first 7 hour stretch of writing. When 8 a.m. came around, he took a 90 minute cat nap and then woke up and wrote until 4 p.m. He'd then go for a bit of a walk, visit some friends, have a bath, taking him to 6 o'clock for dinner and bedtime again. It's remarkable he'd even sleep at all, actually, because he was known to drink about 50 cups of coffee a day. Jen?
I have to write 7,000 words before I can move. So I will get up early and I'll start writing. I'll sit right in front of the laptop and I'll start. And when I've hit 7,000, I allow myself a break. So I would generally have the typical Spanish siesta. So I would work very early in the morning because it's light very early. I'd probably work up to lunchtime. I might have done maybe 4,000 by then. I'd stop for lunch, eat outside, have a lovely lunch, come back in, finish up to 7,000-8,000 and then stop.
Early starts seem to be a common thread. 15th century author John Milton would get very stressed if he didn't start writing at 4 a.m. Tony Schumacher.
I'm a terrible late riser.
Oh, right, fine.
I always get up about 11 o'clock, half 10, 11 o'clock. And one of the reasons why I do that is because I've had millions of rubbish jobs that meant that I used to have to get up at 6:30 and 7 o'clock in the morning. And this way, I kind of feel, yeah, I'm a writer and I can lie in bed till 1 o'clock and I appreciate it kind of thing. So I normally get up and I'll have a coffee, sit in the garden, winter, summer, doesn't matter. I always sit in the garden for about half an hour. And then up to the office after the shower and ablutions, up to the office. And I will look at emails, print a few off. I maybe answer a couple that only need a one-liner. And then I will just start prevaricating for about 2 hours. I'm a nightmare. In fact, not even 2 hours. I'm lying. It's about 4.5 hours where I'll sit there. I just work for me. It does damage your life in many ways. I mean, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult to have a relationship when someone's sitting downstairs and all you can hear me is banging away upstairs, if you pardon the expression.
Insert schoolboy snigger. So we've all got a million and one ideas floating around in our head. How best to channel them and, importantly, note them down? Danny Wallace is a man who's always churning ideas out.
I prefer the term crafting. Churning. It does sort of feel like that sometimes. No, well, I have these ideas. I'm lucky enough to be able to do jobs where I'm able to use these ideas and kind of go, okay, well, that would be a great, say, radio feature, or this could be a great sort of start of a book. So it's when I get excited about one of them that I think I want to really explore this and swim around in it and see where it takes me. I'm lucky to be able to sort of live off my ideas.
And as Jane says, most ideas people never switch off.
I'm seeing opportunities and ideas jumping out at me all the time. And then obviously I go away and research them. But I don't have an on-off switch, I'm afraid. I'm just on.
True that. 17th century political thinker and writer Cotton Mather used to literally employ somebody to walk around with him to take notes in case he had an idea just off the top of his head suddenly. Another slightly old school example from Tony Schumacher as well.
I used to ring my landline, landline answer phone and leave messages when I was out walking my dog, you know, and I'd be like 3 miles away from the home and I'd have an idea and I'd think, quick, ring up, you know, the landline and leave a message on the answer phone and I'll listen to it when I get back home. Unfortunately, once I actually phoned a friend's answer phone and left a message about killing someone on his answer phone, which took a little bit of explaining because back then I was driving a taxi. Take the body outside and cut his head off and then remove it. And then my mate rang me up about 30 seconds later and said, I'm sitting here listening to you on my answer phone talking about murdering someone. But I got away with it.
Tony Schumacher's The Darkest Hour and Jane Kenyon's Diva Wisdom and Superheroes, as well as Danny Wallace's first and second novel Charlotte Street and Who is Tom Ditto, are all available now from good bookshops and Amazon.
This is Brain Food.